this one night, a revival meeting, I believe I'd choose Monday night. That's right, Monday night. I wouldn't come Monday night. I would miss Monday night. I would lay out Monday night. I would not come Monday night if I had to miss one night of revival. So here you are, and you missed the night that you could have missed. Thank you so much for being in the service. I appreciate Brother Westover and his singing, and I was thinking a moment ago how effortlessly he does that. Effortlessly. I could take 100 singing lessons and 200 guitar playing lessons and never sound as good as our brother sang a moment ago. And thank you, my brother, for the special music, the choir that sang as well, that has set the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and I'll begin reading with verse number 11 through verse number 19, where we find the text of the message. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning with verse number 11 through verse number 19. Now, I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. I trust that you had a good day. I certainly did. I was able to preach in the area-wide preacher's fellowship meeting, and we met at Denny's Baptist Church. We met at Denny's this morning, and I enjoyed being with those good men of God and hearing Brother White hearing Brother White preach was such a blessing. The fellowship was so sweet, and then me back in the pulpit tonight, I often use an expression to describe my life, and that is living the dream. I remember as a young man, saved at 17 years of age, I'm at the cusp this month of being 58 years of age. I like to tell people how old I am. They try to guess, 18, 19, 20 at the most. But believe it or not, on the cusp this month of 58 years of age, when I was saved and called to preach at 17, I dreamed about the day that I live in now. I dreamed about preaching in meetings like this. I dreamed about being busy for the Lord. I dreamed about everything that I don't have to do, but that I get to do. And so I praise the Lord for you being in the service tonight and for the privilege, the blessing, benefit, the favor of being able to do a little bit, something for the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning with verse number 11 through verse number 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down in his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Please look back with me at verse number 15. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and verse number 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Little phrase in this verse that I wish tonight you'd underline, if not in your Bibles, and certainly in your minds. I've underscored it in my Bible, and it's that phrase, and one of them. Do you see it? There it is, and one of them. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight. I want to be that one. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind the sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If I know my heart, I want to be a blessing. But the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Today, far too many of God's own people have traded their shout for a pout. Daily, they give the world the wrong impression that the Bible is dull, the church pew is worse than a dentist chair, and that being saved is a life sentence to never seen a single day that brings a smile. While that may be the bulk of believers, there still are but a few that know that having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life isn't a burden, but a blessing. I want to be that one. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, we find that Christ cleanses the 10 lepers. Now, this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this. Jesus instructs his disciples, verses 1 through 10. Jesus cleanses the lepers, verses 11 through 19. And then Jesus predicts his return, verses 20 through 37. It is well the physician Luke is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with Jesus cleanses the lepers that a person sees a sorrowful ratio. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Note, 10 lepers were saved, and 10 lepers were sanitized, and only one shouted it out. Dr. John R. Rice once wrote about our text, there is a sad, usual pattern in the fact that so many greatly blessed beyond measure did not even return to thank Christ. He went on to write, many now do not even regularly thank God for their food, and it is wickedness beyond measure for those who take God's mercies, his sunshine, his air, his food, family, friends, work, pleasure, to never turn to give any thanks to Christ, to God, or to love and trust the Savior. Now the word glorified in the Greek language means to render full honor and glory. The sister verse of Luke 17:15 is Psalm 107:21. And as you've heard me say any number of times in any number of services, every verse in the Bible has what I call a sister verse. And often that sister verse throws more light upon the verse that you're musing, meditating, or making a study of. And again, we find that the sister verse of Luke 17:15 is Psalm 107:21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Never forget, gratitude is the spark plug for the engine of glorifying God. If you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating, gratitude. Gratitude. Gratitude is the engine for glorifying God. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, ought to be mentioned in the minority that makes praising the Lord the major theme of our lives. Now quickly tonight, I want to give you nine. One for each silent leper. Nine Bible reasons that I want to be that one that still shouts. Let's quickly notice it tonight. I want to be that one. Number one, I'm found. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. A Bible reason that I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm found. In Luke 19:10, the physician Luke tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly mission then and his heavenly ministry now is to search and save hell-bound sinners. If a believer has been saved for any length of time, they probably have heard in a testimony meeting someone stand and say, I'm so glad that I found God. By the way, poor theology makes never for a powerful testimony. And if you've been saved for any length of time, no doubt you've heard someone stand and say, I'm so glad that I found God. Breaking news, the God of the Bible has never stopped at the gas station of eternity and asked the service attendant for good directions to the house, workplace, jail cell, or hospital bed of a sinner that wanted to be saved. Now friend, I'm not being harsh, but you didn't find God. God was never lost. God found you. Friend, you and I ought to be mentioned in the minority that still praises the Lord because we are found. When Patrick Henry, one of the founding fathers of the United States and the first governor of Virginia, will was read, it was found to conclude with these words, there is one thing more I wish I could give you. It is the religion of our Lord Jesus Christ. With it, if you had nothing else, you could be happy. Without it, though you had all things else, you could not be happy. Hey, child of God, the fact that God found you and forgave you should cause you to be as happy as a student that sees a substitute on test day. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to be in that minority that still praises the Lord because I'm found. Number two, I'm fundamentalized. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. A Bible reason that I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm fundamentalized. In Jude 3, the apostle Jude tells us that the privilege of the common or the mutual salvation comes with the price of contending for the faith. This may shock some people, but Dr. Leithley, nobody has ever been saved doubting the verbal inspiration and the very preservation of the Scriptures. The virgin birth of the Savior, the vicarious death of the Savior, the victorious resurrection of the Savior, or the very soon return of the Savior. In other words, nobody has ever been saved a liberal. You only were saved as a fundamentalist. Man, I want to be that one that still shouts. I want to be that one that still says, praise the Lord. I want to be that one that still smiles. Say amen right there. Because I'm fundamentalized. Someone has said fundamentalism is militant orthodoxy set on fire with soul-winning zeal. down at the Ford plant, Ford automobiles come off the assembly line. At the Chevrolet plant, Chevrolet automobiles come off the assembly line. And you had better know, down at the old time religion conversion plant, fundamentalists come off the assembly line. I'm fundamentalized. Number three, I'm fulfilled. Mark 5:15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the Democrat. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a new prescription and I'm having trouble reading my notes tonight. Possessed with the devil, make America great again, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. A Bible reason that I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm fulfilled. In Mark 5:15, the Apostle Mark tells us that a menace of society who lived in a cemetery becomes a masterpiece of salvation. Contentment is always the byproduct of knowing Christ. Friend, you and I ought to be mentioned in the minority that praises the Lord because we are fulfilled. Now keep in mind, there were 10 lepers. And Jesus saved and sanitized all 10. But wait a minute, there was only one that came back. There was only one that said hallelujah. There was only one that said glory to God. There was only one that praised Jesus. I talk to preachers every week of the world. In fact, I think it'd be safe to say, not lately, that probably I average every week speaking to 10 preachers a week, every week. And I hear preachers say all the time, Dr. Hamlin, it is the minority of the people that do the majority of the projects. Wait a minute, hold it. Do you think that we'll do better than Jesus? Because the church that Jesus pastored, he there healed 10. And there's only one that said hallelujah. I don't know if that's helping anybody, but it's helping me. In fact, this is such good preaching. I can't wait to get back to the motel room and sign that Gideon Bible twice in the nightstand next to the bed. Jesus saved and sanitized 10, but there was only one that shouted. There was only one that said hallelujah. There was only one that praised God. And friend, I want to be in the minority that still praises the Lord because I am, oh my, fulfilled. Now there's several ways that satisfaction brings, or salvation I should say, brings satisfaction. And we find it from the conversion of the maniac of Gadara. First of all, it bursts repose. Mark 5:15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and have the legion sitting. A way that salvation brings satisfaction from the conversion of the maniac of Gadara, it bursts repose. Pardon and peace are Siamese twins. You remember when you got saved? You remember how it seemed like the weight of 1,000 refrigerators were lifted from your soul? You know why? That's what happens when I feel a preaching storm getting ready to break in here tonight. Really, I do. That's what happens when one is saved. You see, it bursts repose. Secondly, it bursts respectability. Mark 5:15, and clothed. A way that salvation brings satisfaction from the conversion of the maniac of Gadara, it bursts respectability. Bible salvation will never allow you to look like an escapee from a nudist colony. Hello? Mrs. Leithley, I said that the other night at a conference. I said hello, and a lady on the back row said goodbye, and Mrs. Hamlin got up and walked out. Oh, dear friend, hey, if you have a Bible salvation, you're not going to take your clothes off. You're going to put your clothes on. Now, listen, everybody ought to be shouting tonight because it is so stinking cold. I mean, it's so cold out there that TV preachers have their hands in their own pockets. Someone said, that's cold. It's colder out there tonight than a new mother-in-law stare at the wedding reception. I got a million of them. It's so cold out there tonight, if your nose ran, you'd have a snot popsicle. Isn't that wonderful? It bursts. It bursts. I can't wait to read this in the sword of the Lord. It bursts respectability. Thirdly, it bursts rationality. Mark 5:15, and in his right mind, a way that salvation brings satisfaction from the conversion of the maniac of Gadara, it bursts rationality. Clear thinking comes with trusting Christ. Now, a person may have more books than they could ever read in a lifetime, but that's only knowledge. Wisdom comes from knowing the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that every single individual that was in this service tonight would realize that the way salvation brings satisfaction, it bursts repose, it bursts respectability, and it bursts rationality. An old Quaker advertised that he would give 40 acres of rich farmland to anyone who was perfectly satisfied with that which he had. One seeker came to see the Quaker. Are thee perfectly satisfied with what thee hast? Yes, answered the hopeful guest. Then why dost thou want this land? Was the old Quaker's significant reply. Jesus saved and sanitized 10. Only one shouted. Only one said, praise the Lord. Only one said, hallelujah. Only one came back and said, I've got a testimony, and I want to thank the Lord for what He's done in my life. Friend, I don't want to be like the minority. I want to be like the majority that still praises the Lord because I'm, oh my, fulfilled. Number four, I'm furnished. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you, or with you and shall be in you. A Bible reason that I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm furnished. John 14:17. The Apostle John tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ instructed that living inside of every believer is the third person of the Trinity. When the Holy Spirit moves into the heart on moving day, the moment that one is saved, oh my, He brings comfort and correction and counsel and everything that is needed to live a considerable Christian life. Now, can I give you tonight a little bit of theology? Not too much, it would hurt you, but a little bit of theology. Can I do that? Before Pentecost, the power of God, or the Spirit of God, I should say, came upon believers. After Pentecost, the Spirit of God came in believers. You see, friend, I want to be that one that still praises the Lord, that still shouts, that still says hallelujah, because I'm furnished. How many ever got in a furnished apartment? Would you raise your hand? A furnished apartment comes with everything you need. And friend, when you and I got saved, God furnished, oh my, this is better than you're letting on. God furnished us when we got saved. We got everything we need in a person, and that person is the third person of the Trinity. There was a lady that listened to an evangelist, if you can imagine, with much disgust and disdain. If you can imagine, I can't imagine that. But this lady said to this evangelist, to whom she listened to with disdain and disgust, you're not abreast with the Spirit of this age. The evangelist replied, you're quite right. I'm not abreast with the Spirit of this age, but I do have within me the Holy Spirit of this age. I'm furnished. Number five, I'm fortified. Matthew 28:20, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A Bible reason that I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm fortified. In Matthew 28:20, the apostle Matthew tells us that tucked away in the Great Commission is the truth that as the believer travels the world, getting the gospel out, he has total protection because his companion is Christ. Lester Roloff once said, the child of God is immortal in the will of God. Friend, you and I ought to be mentioned in that minority that praises the Lord because we are fortified. A number of years ago, I was in a conference on the East Coast. And it just so happened in that conference, those of us that preached in it had kicked over a hornet's nest. And let me just say, if you preach the Bible as it is, to people as they are, you don't have to go out of your way to make people mad. If they get in front of this book, they're going to get hit. No preacher, I mean not one that's got the power of God on them, no preacher ever uses the Bible as a sniper's rifle. But every preacher that's a God called preacher and has the power of God, he just goes ahead and opens it up and knows that it's just like a shotgun, and if you get in front of it, you're going to get hit. Well, in that conference, unbeknownst to myself and the other preachers that were preaching, well, we had kicked over a hornet's nest. That meeting ran Sunday morning through Friday night. I preached in every one of the services on Saturday morning at an early flight. And as the pastor was taking me to the airport to fly back to Detroit to head to my next meeting, my cell phone rang. It was a number that I did not recognize. I answered the call. I said, John Hamblin, how can I help you? And a voice in the other end began to curse and cuss. I said, hold it, wait a minute, who is this? And they gave me the name and told me that they're a member of that church while I was preaching that week. I thought about that and about that individual, and I said, you know, I've preached in this church for many, many years, and I've never met you, and here you call my cell phone, and you cuss and curse, and I've been preaching in this church for years, and you weren't in the meeting this week, and let me just welcome you from behind your wife's skirt. Don't bow your head. I'm not closing in prayer. And he proceeded to tell me where I stayed that week and where I stayed that night. And he said, I'll have you to know that I know exactly where you stayed. And he said, I spent the night out in the parking lot with my engine running, thinking about getting out of my car and kicking the door in to where you were at and doing you bodily harm. And without even thinking about it, I said, sir, if you'd have rolled down the window and spit out your car, God would have killed you graveyard dead. You say, that's arrogant. No, that's fortified. And Dr. Lethley, I found the best thing that you can do with a bully is punch him as hard as you can right in the nose, and he'll send that bully right back where he came from. Amen. Preach on, preacher, preach on. Dr. J. Frank Norris unarguably was the grandfather of our modern fundamental movement. And one day there was a crowd that showed up at the First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, a large crowd that had come for the sole purpose of hanging Dr. J. Frank Norris. He was in his study. A staff member came and said, Dr. Norris, there's a crowd here, and they've come to do you bodily harm. And the story goes that Dr. Norris looked out the window, saw that crowd, and deliberately went out a side door. He crossed the street, and he gave a nickel to a little boy and bought a newspaper. And the story goes that Dr. Norris took that newspaper and turned his back to the crowd across the street that had come to hang him, and very slowly and very deliberately read every single word of that newspaper. You say Dr. J. Frank Norris is a fool. No, I submit unto you that Dr. J. Frank Norris knew he was fortified. Late in our church one Sunday night, And our church is not in a bad area. But she parked her car and got out of her car to head into the service, and a thug, a thief, a loser, a lascivious individual grabbed her purse and said, "Give that to me." And she said, "No." He said, "I said, give that to me." She said, "No." For the third time, he said, "Give that to me." She said, for the third time, "No." And he pulled out a pistol, and at point blank range, Brother Dickerson, he fired three times and never hit her. You know why? Fortified. And I want to be that one that still says, "Praise the Lord." I want to be that one that still says, "Glory to God." I want to be that one that still shouts. Why? Because I'm fortified. You young preachers, you hear me? You don't have to be afraid of the devil or the devil's mother-in-law. Say amen right there. You don't have to be afraid of Jezebel or a thousand Jezebels. Hey, get you a backbone like a telephone pole and just go ahead and stand knowing that you are fortified. Now, we're having more fun than a barrel of monkeys tonight. Number six, I'm fevered. Jeremiah 20:9. "Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." A Bible reason I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm fevered. Jeremiah 20:9. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that he couldn't be silent because the scriptures were in his soul. I call this Bible mathematics. Believer plus Bible equals blazing believer. Friend, you and I ought to be mentioned in the minority that praises the Lord because we are fevered. In the fall of 1982, the Calvary Baptist Church in Allen Park, Michigan ordained me to the gospel ministry. Before the council laid hands on me and prayed, Dr. A.T. Humphreys, he was the song leader and soloist of Dr. B.R. Lakin. Dr. A.T. Humphreys sang, "Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word, burn it deep within me, let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be a witness, fill me with thy power." I say this with fear and trepidation. Dr. Lately, from that moment to this minute, there has been a fire that has burned in my heart. There has been a blaze. There has been a combustion in my soul. Friend, I want to be that one. Oh, listen, Jesus saved and sanitized 10. But I want to be that one that comes back and says amen. That comes back and says glory to God. That comes back and says hallelujah. Why? Because I'm fevered. Number eight, I'm farsighted. Or I'm sorry, number seven, I'm focused, got ahead of myself. Number seven, I'm focused. 1 Corinthians 9:24, "So run that ye may obtain." A Bible reason I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm focused. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, the Apostle Paul tells us that service for Christ is likened to a race which calls for self-discipline and strenuous effort. Friend, you and I ought to be mentioned in the minority that praises the Lord because we are focused. A wrestler once asked his coach, "Can I smoke and drink and have a good time and still wrestle?" And the coach replied, "Yes, you can, but you can't win." So many Christians, "Can I do this and still serve God? Can I do that and still serve God? What is long and what is short?" No, friend, listen, those are the wrong questions. You and I ought to be so focused that we don't ask questions like that and don't wonder about stuff like that. Oh, listen, can you smoke? And can you run with the world? And can you do A through Z and still go to heaven? Well, if you're saved, you can. But friend, let me just say, you're not going to win a crown I'm focused. Number eight, now I'm farsighted. Hebrews 11:10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A Bible reason that I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm far-sighted. In Hebrews 11:10, the Apostle Paul tells us that Abraham had a light grip on earthly real estate because he had a long gaze on heavenly real estate. Those who have this spiritual perception see mansions in glory, casting crowns at Christ's feet, and saints on the other shore. Friend, you and I ought to be mentioned in the minority that praises the Lord because we are far-sighted. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, once said, a little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I'm far-sighted. And then number nine, and last of all, not only, number one, I'm found. And number two, I'm fundamentalized. And number three, I'm fulfilled. And number four, I'm furnished. And number five, I'm fortified. And number six, I'm fevered. And number seven, I'm focused. And number eight, I'm farsighted. But number nine, and last of all, I'm followed. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Bible reason I want to be that one that still shouts is because I'm followed. In Psalm 23:6, the psalmist David tells us that the believer has an eternal entourage that is with them through their entire life. D.L. Moody once wrote, in the margin of his Bible beside this verse, the shepherd leads and goodness and mercy bring up the rear. All God's children have two footmen, goodness and mercy coming on behind them. Friend, you and I ought to be mentioned in the minority that still praises the Lord because we are followed. I'm holding a revival meeting in Trenton, Missouri, just last year, in November of 2018, I was reading my Bible. And, of course, it wasn't the first time I read my Bible that year. But that was humor, and I'm sorry you missed it. I thought it was funnier than you did. But I was reading my Bible in the motel room that morning, and something happened to me that no doubt if you've read your Bible for any length of time, it's happened to you. And that is, God shows you something that's been there since the ink was wet on the page, but you had never seen it. By the way, that's only true of the Bible. And there's no other book that's true of, because there's no other book that's living. Oh, you can do better than that. There's no other book that's living like the Bible. Sometimes I like to just be real still with just me and my Bible, and I believe I can hear it breathing. Because it's alive. And there's no other book like the Bible that you can read one chapter today, go back and read that same chapter tomorrow, and you know what? You'll see something new in it, and you just read that chapter. You know why? Because this is the living words of God. And I was reading my Bible that morning, and something happened to me that's happened to me countless times and happened no doubt to you if you read your Bible, and that is God showed me something that was there since the ink was wet on the page, but I had never seen it. Now again, Psalm 23:6 tells us that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. Let me have you two young preachers right there. You two, you got a red tie and got a dark shirt and a blue tie. You two fellows, that's it right there. Quickly come. I need you. Quickly. That's you. Quickly come. And I don't want you ever to forget this truth that I'm going to try to drop and deposit in each and every one of our hearts. I want these two fellas to help me, and I'm going to be a Christian. And the reason I'm going to be a Christian is because I am. And I want these two fellas to come quickly. And come on, fellas. I want them to be goodness and mercy. So here we have goodness and mercy. and I'm the Christian. And according to that verse that I just quoted, it tells me that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So what that means is, on good days, I've got goodness and mercy, and on bad days, I've got, go sit down. Both of you sit down. Give me you two over there. Quickly. Sit down. You two quickly. Come on. I'm not dragging goodness and mercy all over this auditorium. Now you just seen how not to do it. Now you show me how to do it. So thanks, guys. So we have goodness and we have mercy. And according to that verse, wherever you and I go, we have following us goodness and mercy wherever we go. And they're right behind us. You didn't know goodness and mercy were so ugly, did you? They couldn't win a beauty contest with blind judges. But here we have goodness and we have mercy. And wherever you and I go, we have goodness. And I mean on good days and bad days and not so good days and maybe some not so bad days. You know what we have behind us? We've got goodness and mercy. They're right behind us. They're absolutely on our heels. No matter where we go, we have goodness and mercy following us. Now that's been in the Bible. He said, oh my goodness. That's been in the Bible since the ink was wet on the page. But I'd never seen it quite that way till that morning when reading my Bible. In that conference in Trenton, Missouri. Now, listen, when God shows you something, God shows it to you that you might share it. God doesn't show it to you for you to keep it, but God shows it to you so you share it with others. And if you don't share what God gives you, I just believe God won't give you any more. I believe that, preacher. I believe if we don't share what God shows us, He doesn't show us anything more. And so, boy, that got a hold of me. And there have been times that I've been in a motel room, and man, I've gone out in the hall, and Brother Leithley, I've stopped the housekeeper, and I've said, you've got to see this, man. God just showed this to me. You've got to see it. There have been times I've been on an airplane. I mean, 30,000 feet in the air. And man, I've seen something in the Bible that's been there since the ink was wet on the page. And I've hit the help button or the flight attendant button. And here comes a flight attendant and they say, sir, do you want more coffee? And I'll say, no, I got to show you this in the Bible. And I mean, hey, if you don't share it when God shows it to you, He won't show anything else. And then, Mrs. Leithley, there have been some times when I get back to the motel room. I don't just jump into bed after service. I unwind, I work a little bit, I watch the news, I study, and there have been times in the small hours of the morning after preaching, seeing something in the Bible, and man, it'll get a hold of me, and I'll have to share it with somebody, and I'll call Mrs. Hanlon after midnight, and I'll say, babe, you gotta see this, and I'll show it to her in the Bible, and she'll say, that's wonderful, but couldn't have waited till the morning. It was one of those moments. I was in that conference in Trenton, Missouri, reading my Bible, and I saw where I'm trailed. By the way, that's what that word followed means. It means trailed. It means chased. It means followed. It means pursued. And I saw that since I've been saved every day, I've had two heavenly visitors. I've had heavenly PIs, private investigators. I've had heavenly shadows, goodness and mercy that have followed me all the day. I mean, they have followed me all the days of my life. So I called, I texted a friend of mine, Dr. Jeff Fugate. You're almost as slow as those two back there. After all that screaming about goodness and mercy. Okay, now you're getting it. Now, all right, now after 20 minutes. I texted a friend of mine, Dr. Jeff Fugate. And I said, Dr. Fugate, you got a minute? He texts back, absolutely. And so he called and I said, do you have a Bible nearby? That's hilarious.
ask a preacher if he has a Bible nearby. That's like saying to a chain smoker, do you have a cigarette lighter nearby? He said, I do. I said, look at Psalm 23:6. And Brother Dickerson, he turned to Psalm 23:6 and I said, now watch this. I said, you probably know this, but watch this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I said, what that means is wherever you and I go, we have trailing us, following us, chasing us, pursuing us. Wherever we go, we've got goodness and we've got mercy. And I mean to tell you, my brother, he started to shout and I started to shout. He was in a conference in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. I was in a conference in Trent, Missouri. And he's shouting, and I'm shouting, and he's shouting, and I'm shouting. And all of a sudden, he started to cry, and I started to cry. By the way, did you know that a Christian is the only person on planet Earth that can cry when they're happy? And I said, isn't that something? I said, every day, on the high mountain in the low valley, good times, bad times, not so good times. When we're blessed, when we seem like we're not blessed, it doesn't matter. Because every day we're followed. Every day we're pursued. Every day we're chased. Goodness and mercy, they're following us. He began to shout even more. And then he began to cry even more. And he said, Dr. Hamlin, you're not going to believe this. He said, well, you and I have been talking about goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. He said, well, you and I have been shouting about that. He said, I just got a text message from a businessman. Well, you and I have been talking about goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. He said, I just got a text message from a businessman who has said, I'm putting in your account 60,000, that's a 60, and one of those little scratch marks, and three other zeros, $60,000 for you to buy new buses. Did you hear that? 60, 60, scratch, three zeros. He said, well, we were talking about, good, shout as if you got the $60,000. Well, we are talking about goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. I just got a text message and the man's giving me $60,000 for new buses. Oh, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But right now you're thinking, how come I never get $60,000? I'll tell you why. Because you've yet to rejoice over the $6 rebate on toilet tissue that you hadn't expected since the last time you were at the grocery store. And if we'll shout over the small, God will trust us with the sizable. Because with God, it's all sizable and nothing small. Thank you, fellas. You may be seated. Let's give them a hand. I want to be that one that still shouts. I want to be that one that still says, praise the Lord. I want to, and by the way, I'm getting goodness and mercy, a health club membership. Move a little bit slow. How many of that one that says glory to God? And that one that says hallelujah? And that one, you say, Dr. Hamlin, that's pretty shallow. You call it what you want. But let me show you how shallow it is. Would you look back at our text? Now, Jesus saves and sanitizes 10. And when he saves and sanitizes them, Dr. Lethley, we see that, verse number 14, they were cleansed. What that means is the leprosy stops wherever it was at. You see it? Verse 14, they were cleansed. But there comes this one back that says, Jesus, I'd like to give a testimony. There's this one that comes back, and as they were singing on a Monday night, the song leader in the annual spring revival meeting, All I Need, somebody shouts right in the middle of that song, understanding Jesus is all we need. There's one that comes back and says, I've got a testimony. There's one that comes back and says, praise the Lord, when nobody else is praising the Lord. And watch what happens to him. Verse number 19. He's made whole. Now, they all were saved and sanitized. But the nine, they were just cleansed. The one that came back. This is better than you're letting on. The one that said, I got a testimony. The one that said, let me praise the Lord. Guess what happened to him? He's made whole. Now, you know, when you have leprosy, you lose limbs. You lose digits, fingers. You lose an eyelid. But verse 19, that one that shouted, he's made whole. That means he got a limb back. That means he got an eyelid back. That means he got an ear back and he could go back to wearing sunglasses. Say amen right there. The nine, they were cleansed. The leprosy stopped where it was at. But the one that said praise the Lord is the one that got it all back. And if you'll just praise the Lord when others don't. If you'll just praise the Lord when others won't. And God will do for you what He did for that one. And what you've lost, He'll give back. And you'll be made whole. I want to be that one. So often, we major on the majority. Well, there's only so few that go out soul winning. There's so few that will teach a Sunday school class. There's so few that will come to prayer meeting. There's so few that will back a revival meeting. There's so few that will praise the Lord. Wait a minute, hold it. The church Jesus pastored was the very same way. And I don't think that we'll do better, not lethally, I could be wrong, but I don't think we'll do better than Jesus. So let's stop majoring on the majority and start saying, I'm glad to be the minority. And I want to be that one that still shouts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15,